ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the string of medical emergencies that is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. You know, I've become the perfect national spokesperson for GoToMeeting. Why?
Why?
Because I am completely and utterly shut in now. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie. Who wants to drive and go all that things? Not me. Not me. I go to meeting. All right. We have a big Monday show, despite my disabilities. The Rude Pundit coming up in just a few minutes. Eric Bollard from Media Matters to co-host A Right Wing World. And Gail King, Oprah's best friend, who has a new show here on KTLK. Los Angeles,
and nationally as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Who I used to co-host, Pure Oxygen, on one of my many canceled television shows.
Like, whatever.
She'll have to remind me which one.
Yes.
Back a few years ago, we used to co-host every Wednesday together. And Brad Sherman, he's taking it in the shorts from Fox News.
Yeah, they're kind of bashing him.
Because he, like I, didn't really know what the whole Black Panther, what the box.
Because it happened over 2 years ago.
Yes, you explained that to one of our right-wing callers that was bemoaning the dearth of our coverage of the Black Panther incident. And you said, well, we did cover that back when it was breaking news several years ago when the Bush administration thought it was nothing. We covered it then. By the way, have you been reading the more fun facts about that? I think Jim did point this out, but first of all, it was a black voting district.
Yes.
It voted overwhelmingly for Obama. Not one voter said they were intimidated.
Right.
It's just what somebody was saying. Fox likes the video of the scary, angry black guys.
That's right. And there were people walking behind them going in to vote.
Yes. And there's another fun fact I forget. I'll find it later, but it was just kind of hilarious. Oh, hang on a second. Oh, the one Black Panther guy in the video?
Yeah.
He had earlier professed loathing for the Democratic puppet candidate Barack Obama.
Hmm.
So, that guy, not really a Barack Obama supporter.
No.
Interestingly enough. What the fuck? All right.
Well, if he's not a Barack Obama supporter, it's no wonder that Fox News keeps running footage of him. Because they only have people
exactly.
who are against
exactly.
Barack Obama on that
including
network.
The scary, angry black guy with the nightstick on the whatever.
Yeah.
All right, this is the time of the show when we, we just, for people that want an update of my medical condition, many people commented on me doing the entire show on the floor of the studio on Friday that was on my Facebook page.
Right.
These are the medical fun facts from all of because I have to be the only host in America this morning, Chris. Okay, maybe Rush Limbaugh, that received a sex swing.
That's true.
My life is just it's a buffet of delightful surprises, and I got in this morning to get what's the name of this? It's a Sports Sheets Door Jam Sex Sling.
That's right.
Todd says, Steph, I was listening to Hump Days with Hal this week and thought you could use this to broadcast from. No installation required, just hook it over the door, make sure it's locked. Oh, that's true. That would be. Hop in and grab your mic. Hope this helps. Todd from the, thank you, Todd. That's very, she looks like she's having fun.
And it comes with a DVD.
Jim will be delighted when he walks in a little bit and sees me in my sex sling broadcasting. Because I've broken my foot, for those of you that have just tuned in. And then my back goes out every other day because of the crutches and the crawling up and down three flights and the
whatever
flaping and stuff. So I went to the chiropractor right after the show
Friday. Oh, you found one?
Yes.
Okay, good.
It's my old guy. He moved to New York, but it's his office.
Oh.
And I forgot. They have, the hottest doctors ever. It's like the hot porn doctor chiropractic clinic or something. It's,
I didn't ask for that kind of adjustment.
Oh, yes, I did. He used the tappy thing on me that I like. What's it called?
I
activator
know. I've
something.
Never been to a chiropractor, so I have no idea.
Okay. I'm going again after the show today because I continue to throw my back out, as I mentioned. But that's before I got my sex sling. So, I got to hook this thing up, and you know what?
That'll relieve pressure on the lower back, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know what? This doesn't look like loving sex in the brochure, can I just say?
It looks like angry.
Looks like kind of angry sex, and I'm not sure the need. There's also a sex in the shower catalog of products, and look at her. She looks like, look at that. It's like Spider-Woman. It's like things to kind of climb up the wall of the shower if you'd like to get
Well, if you're getting busy
cleaned
in
certain areas that you can't reach in ordinary ways.
If you're getting busy in the shower, you might want something to hold on to. It gets slippery in there sometimes.
You know, sex in the shower in the bath?
Computer says no.
You're not a fan?
Not for me, no. Land mammal. Land mammal myself.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, not really.
Sex in the pool?
I've broken my foot. I'm not exactly coordinated enough to have sex even on land, let alone in water and places that are slippery.
Sex in the hot tub?
No, I'm just not. I'm not an aquatic sex mammal.
Okay, fine.
All right. Thank you, Todd, for my sex swing. It looks delightful. And I think we are going to see because that's the problem. When I sit for 3 hours to do the show, my back seizes up is what's happening.
Can I get a picture of you holding that box just so we can post it up on your Facebook page?
I don't think that's necessary, but...
Why not?
All right. Oh, also, so directly after the chiropractor, I went and got my cast redone. Because as you recall, my cast was too tight, and I felt, and you know, various listeners wrote me various stories that all ended in amputation.
Yes. Gangrene.
Yes. Yeah, well, as it turns out, my giant leg condom that you're supposed to wear in the bath and the shower and the pool was not working. And so it was good that I had it removed because it was really gnarly under there. You know, I normally have the hammer toes, and one of them has a wart on it.
Yeah.
Then it was also kind of all mildewy and wrinkled and stuff.
I've heard that's what legs look like when you get cast taken off.
Yeah. Oh, and my calf has shriveled already. It's only been a week. It's delightful. It's going to really help my social life, which is already... All right. So, what was I saying? Oh, anyway, so we redid the cast. Hey, who knew this? Here's a fun fact I didn't know.
What?
They have to take the cast off with a saw.
Yes, they do.
It's really loud.
I knew that.
And really scary.
Ah!
And it feels like, and I thought that'll be next with my luck right now. They will cut my leg off. That's what, yep. And my listeners will be right. It will end in amputation. Not on purpose, but just, you know. Oops, look what happened there. Yeah, so that was not fun, but now I have a new cast, which actually feels too loose now.
Oh.
And also, my giant condom is still not. I got a new one, and it's not working either. So it's getting wet in there again. So I think my listeners are right. There will be some gangrene, and I'm not really sure. Maybe nerve damage, something of some sort.
Maybe keep your leg out of the pool.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think you probably should.
Yeah. All right. So that's the update. That's the medical update for today. In case you were. Oh, wait. Did I tell you what a disaster magnet I am?
What?
So, you know, I have a new printer that came.
Yes.
The first one that came was defective, and then the second one came.
Yes.
So my computer guy.
Yes.
He hurt his foot, and he can't drive now either, and he can't walk. And so I still am crawling up and down three flights because I have no printer hooked up because. yeah. All right. Nonetheless, we have.
Well, you know, the printer came with instructions. Maybe you could just open up the
oh,
instruction
sure.
book.
With my broken leg and my crutches? Yes, uh-huh. Sure, I could carry the printer around. And yeah.
No, you don't have to carry the printer around. It's wireless.
Listen, do you know I don't know how to use anything? You've had to come and do percussive maintenance on my printers before. I don't know
but
how to
see,
even...
See, there's an instruction manual that gives you step-by-step instructions on how to...
Well, had I not lost the will to live several days ago, perhaps that information would come in handy. All right. By the way, the Tea Party guy got fired.
You're fired.
The guy that said there's no racism in the Tea Party.
You're fired.
Yeah, he's. Turns out, did you see that letter he wrote? The funny letter. It was funny. It was. He was pretending. He was writing to Abraham Lincoln. Oh, it was hilarious.
He was like the head. He traveled around with that Tea Party bus that first summer. How can people say that he wasn't...
What was the... Somebody interviewed him. I think it was on MSNBC. It was hilarious about... There's no racism in the Tea Party. She's like... I think it was Tamron Hall. She said, well, what about the pictures of President Obama with a bone through his nose?
Right.
Yeah, I'm just saying, one might think for a moment that was someone racist. All right.
Mary Madeline said, oh, that guy's just a crackpot. He's on the fringes. He has nothing to do with the Tea Party. He toured around on that Tea Party bus.
Yes, he was the chairman, actually.
Yes.
Uh-huh. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email. Yeah, we will put my sex swing up later. But you can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. Yes.
I'm going to hook it up to that door jam. I'm going to take a picture of you in it.
Awesome. Okay. Fully clothed. We apologize.
Yeah.
Sid is momentarily befuddled by Facebook.
Oh.
As I was when I was first introduced to it. I understand. Sid says, Steph, I tried to join Facebook to get involved in your page. Look at your blue cast. Flirt with Hal Sparks. Do you know how many Stephanie Millers there are on Facebook? 500.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get this crap. Sid in Santa Rosa. I didn't get it either. But I'm not the bodybuilder chick. There's a bodybuilder chick.
Oh, there is?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not me. In fact, I have a little shriveled, atrophied calf, so that's definitely not me.
Did you have to wrestle StephanieMiller.com from that one?
Let's hope not. I would have lost that
yeah.
one. All right, Jeff in LeClaire, Iowa, with a very topical, fine American rant here. Steph, Republicans criticize Obama because the unemployment rate took over a year to level off and is now inching down slowly, while they praise Ronald Reagan as their ideal of conservative economic policy. But when Reagan became president, the unemployment rate was 7.5%, 7.5. Did you know that?
No.
After two full years of Reaganomics, the unemployment rate had risen to 10.8. That seems, I don't know, I'm not a mathematician, but that seems like it went in the wrong direction.
Yes.
Hmm? It took Reagan over 2.5 years to get unemployment below 9%, which is still higher than it was when he took office. Oh, good job. Obama inherited a much worse economic situation than Reagan did and managed to stop the rise in unemployment in half the time it took Reagan. It seems to me in turning around the worst economic recession in 70 years, Obama should be given at least as much time as we gave Reagan. But somehow, Republicans don't seem willing to have the same patience with Obama they had when Reagan was in office. One of the many Reagan-esque hypocrisies that we have sussed out with today's Republican Party.
That's right.
Thank you, Jeff. All right, 17 minutes after the hour. So much to get to. Update on the Gulf spill, the economy, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ow. I just snarfed oatmeal out my nose. It must be the Stephanie Miller Show.
They call me her. They call me
Stephanie Miller.
That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. They call me
Once again, the only conversation I think on a talk radio show in America this morning that goes, our phone screener thing isn't working, but the sex wing is working fine.
Yeah.
The sex wing's good. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Phil in Phoenix on Mama's Broken Foot. Hello, Phil.
Oh, Mama.
Yes,
Steph,
yes.
Don't your medical condition now just, doesn't it make you long for the days when you were only an insomniac and had mercury poisoning?
Yeah.
I'm still an insomniac, so I have that going for me. All right. Thank you. Bill, you're not laughing at me, right? You're laughing.
Can I be the official blimp mechanic of the Stephanie Miller Show?
You are not. How cool.
Huh? Well, retired.
Oh.
Wow. When something goes wrong with a blimp, that's a big problem, huh?
Hey, a lot of stress fractures on blimps, too.
Wow, I bet. Okay.
Big problem.
All right.
And there also used to be a lot of blowing up of blimps, too.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dirigible, you know.
Yes.
Okay. I just thought I would. All right, Jeff and Tonawanda up the transit from Mama's hometown of Lackport.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Mama. Sorry to hear about the foot.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, can we hear Steph Burt this morning?
You know what? I don't fake it. I'm not the kind of girl that fakes it, Jeff, but I'll try to bring one up for you later, all right?
That sounds hilarious.
All right, awesome. See, guys dig chicks that burp, I'm telling you. He wants to hear one of those Jenny Cream Ale burps from my high school years.
Do we need to truck some in?
All right. Yeah, I don't think it. I'm not that kind of gal. What the hell's going on in the Gulf, for God's sake, speaking of gas?
God.
So testing continues. So it seems like there's a fissure a little bit. Have you seen this between BP and the government?
Yes.
As to what's happening down there. BP's statement came hours after testing had revealed a seep from a distance from the well.
That's right.
They think there's methane. What the hell's going on exactly? I don't.
And pressure readings weren't as high as
they thought they were going to be, which means that it might be seeping. I think Jim had mentioned this on Friday that, you know, is it seeping from the ocean floor itself?
And so what they might have to do is take the cap off, let oil spew into the Gulf again.
Right, which BP doesn't want to do now. What they're saying is, because PR-wise, they're like, oh, no, we like it the way it is, even though long-term that might not be the, you know, they just don't want to have that picture again of the gushing oil.
Well, not just that, but they also don't want more damage to happen, and, you know, therefore more they'd have to spend more money to clean up said damage.
Yes. So BP and the Obama White House offered significantly differing views yesterday on whether the capped Gulf of Mexico oil well will have to be reopened, a contradiction that may be an effort by the oil giant to avoid blame if the crude starts spewing again. Again, you remember, Jim did say this about the dispersant, which I think there's a lot of questions about that. It's not that it hasn't been used before. It just hasn't been used in these quantities.
Right.
And the question is, to what degree is it just to make the spill look worse, so they have, or excuse me, look better, so they have less liability when it's maybe ultimately more harmful to put that amount of dispersant in on top of that amount of oil? So obviously, it pilloried for nearly 3 months as it tried to stop the leak. BP capped the well on Thursday, wants to keep it that way. The government's plan, however, is to eventually pipe oil to the surface, which would ease pressure on the well, but would require up to 3 more days of oil spilling into the well. Doug Suttles, BP's chief operating officer, said no one associated with this whole activity wants to see any more oil flow into the Gulf of Mexico. Right now, we don't have a target to return the well to flow. An administration official familiar with the spill oversight, however, told AP a seep and possible methane were found near the busted oil well. The concern all along, since pressure readings on the cap, as you said, weren't as high as they were expected, was a leak elsewhere in the well bore, meaning the cap may have to be reopened to prevent the environmental disaster from becoming even worse and even harder to fix. The official, who would not clarify what is seeping near the well, also said BP is not complying with the government's demand for more monitoring. The president talking about this yesterday.
The new cap is containing the oil right now, but scientists are doing a number of tests. What they want to make sure of is that by putting this cap on, the oil isn't seeping out elsewhere in ways that could be even more catastrophic, and that involves measuring pressures while this cap is on. The data is not all still in, and it has to be interpreted by the scientists.
By the way, speaking of which, you know what BP is spending money on?
What?
They're trying to buy some scientists to make it look like say what they want them to say. When's an oil company ever done that, I wonder? Yeah, this is these are more of the disturbing reports coming out of the Gulf. They're on a spending spree buying Gulf Coast scientists for its private contractor army. Scientists from Louisiana State, Mississippi State, and Texas A&M have signed contracts with BP to work on their behalf in, let me get this straight, natural resources damage assessment. That determines how much ecological damage the Gulf of Mexico region is suffering from BP's spill. Oh, that'll be something, won't it? If those particular scientists say, "Oh, it's fine, it's not that bad."
Scientists like this should be independent of both the government and BP.
Yeah, well, this is what's happening. Some scientists turn this down, and
right.
Prohibits the scientists from publishing their research, sharing it with other scientists, or speaking about the data they collect for at least the next 3 years. It's $250 an hour. Buys silence, according to an environmental lawyer who looked at the contract. It makes me feel like they're more interested in making sure we couldn't testify against them than having us testify for them, according to one scientist that turned it down.
If you're not allowed to publish your results, that doesn't make you much of a scientist now, does it?
Well, apparently not. You know what the president said? I flunked my 8th grade science fair project. However, that does make sense to me, that the cap would make it look good on the top, and then you go, I wonder if there's anything, I wonder if it's coming out somewhere else. Oh, no, I'm sure it's fine. The president.
New cap is good news. Either we will be able to use it to stop the flow, or we will be able to use it to capture almost all of the oil until the relief well is done. But we're not going to know for certain which approach makes sense until additional data is in. And all the American people should rest assured that all of these decisions will be based on the science and what's best for the people of the Gulf.
And not science bought by BP, if I have my choice.
Hopefully.
Yeah. 29 minutes after the hour. His rudeness, the rude pundit, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
People would pay to look like you do. You pay to look like you do.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. I have an engineer tinkering under my hood right now. Wandering around down there under my sex wing, seeing what's wrong with my phone screen.
That's right.
Thank you. Careful with the sex wing. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You know, it's Monday, everybody. And you know what that means. Time for his rudeness. Or not.
Lee Papa, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, your rudeness.
Good morning. How are you?
You're on vacation and yet you're here. You're never on vacation from
Stephanie Miller.
Thank you.
No. I figure I can be stalked down anywhere by you guys.
Exactly.
Besides, if you're talking about sex swings, I mean, yeah, I'm totally there.
Yeah, so. Well, exactly. You are on one of your walkabouts, according to your blog, in Red America. You are in Louisiana now?
I am in Louisiana. I am here where people are wearing End the Moratorium T-shirts. I'm going to an End the Moratorium rally with Bobby Jindal speaking on Wednesday.
Yikes. Donde los yikes, may I just say.
Is everybody against the moratorium there or just red state people?
I would say that there's a very large, the vast majority of people are against the moratorium.
Huh. Okay.
Well, because there's this place runs on oil.
Right.
Oil companies have owned this place for years.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, Ruth, that's got to be a weird disconnect to be, you know, taking the brunt of the worst environmental disaster in our history. And to have your economy run on the companies that caused it. I mean, how do they reconcile that?
They've been having flush times here for a long time. The interesting thing down here is that often it's the reverse. The economy here is the reverse of what it is in the rest of the nation because, you know, when we're all everywhere else paying, you know, jacked up oil gas prices, here they're bathing in cash. So then when the oil prices plunge here, it becomes a recession.
Right. Well, so what is the latest you're hearing? This is really kind of disturbing, right? That, you know, you go, oh, it looks good now. There's good PR pictures on TV that it looks stopped. But, you know, obviously you're hearing the disconnect between the White House and BP now. They're saying, look, it might be seeping out elsewhere. And they may have to take it off to relieve the pressure for a while, which BP doesn't want now in a PR sense, right?
Right. I mean, now the video is showing, you know, the water is clear around the well where it blew out.
Oh, it looks like a Disney film. Oh, there's animated fish all played by Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, that's great. Yes. And I can't wait for Sebastian the Crab to come in and, and bring all the other sea creatures, and then the well gets uncapped.
Yeah, right.
Oh, Sebastian.
Yeah. Now, I love your, you have people filling in for you this week at Rude Pundit, and you say it's big lesbian, gay, bi, trans week at the Rude Pundit.
And I think I've got all those bases covered.
I think you do.
Yeah.
Which, good for you. You also pointed out what we pointed out, I believe, somewhere in the blog about how these questions seem a little suggestive on the Don't Ask, Don't Tell survey they gave service members.
Yes, that was lots of fun. I mean, you know, yeah, I went through, I, after we talked last week, I went through and read the entire questionnaire. And yeah, there were an inordinate amount of shower questions. It was just weird. And it was like some kind of joining up with some kind of sex perv chat room.
Right.
You know, if you were showering here, how would you feel? If you were showering, you know, while in combat, how would you feel?
Yeah, I don't think anyone really focuses that much on showering in their life, no matter who they are. Let's see. You write, if you see a naked service member of the same sex in the shower, would you A, think about how back in high school you had a wonderful night of exploration, B, create elaborate fantasies about group sex and tell a leader about them in excruciating detail, or C, pray like a mother to put those thoughts out of your sinful head? Those are sort of the tint of the questions, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And it's all that what makes you feel icky. What's your icky line is really all those questions are asking.
Mm-hmm. Number three, if you are at war and under fire and the only service member who can assist you is gay, do you A, just let yourself get killed, B, allow yourself to be assisted and then call the service member fag or dyke, C, are you kidding me? Straight gay, I'd go down on him after all night if he saved my ass. Which I think is the right answer. no matter who you are.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm worried about that too. That it's going to skew these results, aren't you?
Well, yeah, and again, it's an online poll. There's nothing scientific about it. It's just whichever groups of soldiers, you know, if the Christian praying soldier circles get all of their members to go on and take the poll, all of a sudden it becomes a very anti-gay response.
Right, right. Now, speaking of mayhem and sex, you have a play opening in New York City. What is it, tomorrow, July 20th?
I have a play opening in New York City that I directed. I have one that I wrote that's coming up later, but I'll talk about that later. But it's called Hunter Gatherers, and it's being performed at a theater at Baruch College, and it's got sex, violence, nudity, and animal sacrifice.
So, wow! It's about two married couples whose evening devolves into mayhem, sex, violence, nudity, profanity, and animal sacrifice, which sounds like my last weekend in New York with John Fugelsang and his wife. But that's, you know, that's a story for another time that Mama won't tell right now.
It sounds like prom night to me. But.
Yeah. Especially the animal sacrifice.
Yes. Oh, God, that poor goat.
So you see, they finally unloaded this Mark Williams, this racist Tea Party guy, after this whole NAACP thing. You write about the Tea Party this week as well, what do you call it? Oh, the billboard in Iowa. That's lovely.
Yeah. Hitler, the Obama is like Hitler. Hitler and Lenin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
They think that. Well, and they're right. That scary pictures make people scared, and it's you know, it's like the Black Panther, the new Black Panther Party thing. Those guys were in Black Panther drag, and Black Panther drag is really scary to white people who don't understand that. Nobody really cared that they were there.
Yeah. They even like pictures of a lame white guy dressed like a pimp. You know, that wasn't even dressed that way when he went into the Acorn office. That was good enough for Fox News for 75 news cycles, wasn't it?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, and of course, if you, I did, again, this whole thing of, and Media Matters has covered this really well, about how if you don't cover it, you must be covering something up.
Right.
Which is a really great journalistic standard. I think that every story, you know, the 9/11 truthers at this point must be losing their minds. Like, we've been at this for years, and nobody's given us this kind of, you know, credentials.
Yeah, the Stephanie Miller News Organization has been accused of just that, of covering up the whole Black Panther thing.
Whatever.
Yeah,
incident.
Well, you know, mm-hmm. I've always thought that, you know, you've gone black and won't go back. So.
Well, I think that's clear.
you know, and in an awkward transition, I love Alvin Green.
Oh. Did you see his first speech?
Oh no. Oh,
my,
you know what?
God.
He is the greatest politician ever. I think the way he's playing this is just beautiful. It's like he's daring people to vote for him.
Yeah.
I was accused on Twitter of being racist because we were making fun of Alvin Green.
Yes.
He gave his first speech before the NAACP.
Right.
You know, how do you not make reference to his color when he's giving it before the National Association?
Well, I made no reference to his color. I just, you know, said he was an idiot.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, is he an idiot or is he brilliant?
Yes, which it's hard to tell.
It's very Andy Kaufman-esque.
Yeah,
well,
I'd like to think so. And you know what? As far as his the obscenity charge, who among us has not shown naked pictures on a computer to college kids?
Of course. That's the whole point of college.
Of course.
Now, speaking of idiots, one of your posts is about Sharon Angle and... I won't say what you called her, but anyway.
People got mad at that.
Yes,
really?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, who could have seen rudeness coming in your blog? I couldn't have.
Go figure.
Mm-hmm. It's like ABC being shocked that Bill Maher was politically incorrect. Who could have seen that coming?
Yeah. You know what?
Yes. So, Sharon Angle, the bad news comedy-wise is Harry Reid is ahead. What do you think is going to happen there?
I don't know, but Harry Reid is ahead is maybe the dirtiest thing you've said all morning.
I know. I have to ask, which particular part of the Sharon Angle crazy have you covered in your blog?
Well, this particular one was all about how she was talking to Neil Cavuto, and Neil Cavuto saw his soul drain out of him as he was interviewing Sharon Angle, and Sharon Angle was trying to say that Harry Reid calling up banks to ask them not to foreclose on an enormous project that MGM Resorts was doing in Las Vegas. You know,
how dare he?
Harry Reid's constituents and their jobs, and he ended up saving something like 80,000 jobs, that somehow that was a bailout. That was a bank bailout.
Ah, because he bailed out people in Nevada.
No,
yes, so that's bad.
That it was somehow stimulus related, and I don't know. It's just one of those completely idiotic things. It's like she has a series of words in her head that she's been told by the Tea Party to say in random order, and she somehow eked out.
They put an old Sarah Palin speech in a salad shooter.
Sarah Palin,
some of this.
Smart enough not to say anything specific that hasn't gone through. You know, her GOP operatives in order to clean it up when it's posted to Facebook. Otherwise, she just says crap like, you know.
Refudiate. Yeah.
Did you see that? Did you hear that?
I love it.
And did you see her excuse for it?
Yes, refudiate and refute in the salad shooter.
Did you see her excuse for that?
No.
She says people make up words all the time like Shakespeare did.
Yep.
Yeah, she compared herself to Shakespeare.
She's Shakespeare now,
yeah.
Sure.
Shakespeare. So when I put together a couple of random bad words to create a new magical bad word, I'm Shakespeare.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Oh, Lord. So what was I going to say? Oh, did you see the latest thing, you know, this shadow RNC because Michael Steele is an incompetent idiot? The who is it? The Karl Rove shadow thing?
Oh, yeah.
Have an ad out against Harry Reid. Same thing. It's like, first of all, aren't they the ones totally against the stimulus? The ad criticizes Reid for not getting enough stimulus money for Nevada.
Yeah.
So it's even though it's one of the smaller states, and it's usually based on some, whatever. You're going, wait a minute, now it's bad that he didn't get enough stimulus dollars?
You know, Rove has lost his mojo. He's been you know, fat and happy on Fox for a little while, and if anybody thought that Rove.
No, he's definitely not hungry anymore, that's for sure.
Yeah. If anybody thought that Rove was going away, they were sadly mistaken. He's lurks behind there. What is it? Ed Gillespie's also involved in this.
Yep. Yep.
All of those jowly Republicans are not leaving us.
His rudeness on vacation and yet still literally phoning it in on the Stephanie Miller Show. Have a good vacation. Try to come back with one or two brain cells, sir.
I'll give it a shot.
All right. There he goes. His rudeness, the rude pundit. Whee! 46 minutes after the hour. Pardon me. I have to readjust my sex swing. I'll be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is a disgusting display.
Boy, you can say that again.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Eric Bollert, our Monday pal, joins us in just a few minutes for a rollicking right-wing world. Brian in Miami, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bri.
Hey there, Steph. Something that kind of got left in the mix when between Sarah Palin making up words and then comparing herself to Shakespeare about it was...
Calling to refudiate?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right. She left this really horrifying tweet, at least to me and anybody who really paid attention to it. She tweeted in between those two that she said, "Peace-seeking Muslims, Ground Zero Mosque is an unnecessary provocation." Behind all the folksiness and the cheeriness of her facade, there is a really vicious person who really does think that, you know, the United States is in the Middle East to wage Christian jihad. And
right.
I think people really need to push back on that. People really need to call her out on that and call out her supporters on it. Do they think that we're there to wipe out Islam? Should they be forced to say yes or no if they're really going to sit there and make little backhand statements like that?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. Thank you, Bri. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Trying to get some updates on what's happening in the Gulf. It seems like we were saying to be a kind of a divergence between BP and the White House now. And, the problem is we got to do what's going to be good long term. And not the problem is in letting BP run this, is the PR angle. Because they're more concerned about PR. They, you know, and I want to know what's actually going on, because I've asked how many people we had on, reporters. I'm like, could this really get worse? And the answer is yes.
Yes, everybody has said yes.
Yes, this could be a much bigger disaster. So now the scientists are saying that there is something else seeping, methane, something, somewhere.
Or could be more oil. Mm-hmm. They really don't know.
Yeah, that would seem counterintuitive that the pressure readings were lower than expected, but that's true, that if it's lower, it means that
oil
could be seeping out somewhere else.
Yeah.
Exactly. The president yesterday.
I think it's important that we don't get ahead of ourselves here. You know, one of the problems with having this camera down there is that when the oil stops gushing, everybody feels like we're done, and we're not.
Yeah. It's, you know, this is what I was asking. Who is it? David Mattingly, mm-hmm. the CNN correspondent. I was asking Friday that maybe I'm not understanding this, but the relief wells, everybody is saying, is the thing that's going to stop this. And this was always described in the beginning as a risky maneuver, this cap. And I think that it was, I hope not, but people are saying, was this sort of prematurely, like, oh, look, it's a Disney film under there now, you know, when in fact this could be something that ends up being a far bigger disaster. If something else blows now because they did this, that's what I was asking. Why are you attempting this? You know, if you...
That's why the president was very careful.
But are they doing this for the PR thing? Like, we got to shut. I mean, you wonder if in a BP boardroom somewhere they say we have to stop those pictures on TV, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
The president and
BP is going to be paying for the damage that it has caused, and that's going to involve not only paying for the environmental disaster and cleanup, but also compensating people who've been affected.
Yeah, Rude Pundit obviously just talking to us from Louisiana. That's got to be a weird dichotomy down there, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are suffering from the worst environmental disaster in our history, and yet at the same time, oil companies are what have kept that area going. So, you know, like it's this weird disconnect where he's going to a, you know, lift the moratorium rally. You know, I mean, Representative Ed Mackey.
Ed Mackey.
My fear is that BP will then deny the magnitude of the spill, force the U.S. government to take them to court, and that the U.S. government will have insufficient evidence to prove that the spill wasn't 5,000 barrels or 20,000 barrels, but perhaps 40,000 or 60,000 barrels per day. And since the fine is tied to how many barrels per day, BP will be arguing there is no conclusive evidence. And that would shortchange the American taxpayer and the people in the Gulf of Mexico.
He's got a great point there. If we take them to court, we are going to have to depend on the defense for the evidence.
Yeah. And he's the one that got that camera down there in the first place, Ed Markey.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Jeff Merkley, Democrat of Oregon.
I mean, we're spending $1 billion a day overseas. That means a lot of money that goes out of our economy doesn't create jobs here. It also means that we're continually looking for ways to make sure that we preserve access to that oil, and that's a national security issue. So rather than just continuing to complain about this being a problem, let's have a national plan to end our dependence on foreign oil, and that's what this plan is.
I don't, you know, if we can't get something done now on clean energy, we never will, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and we're such a TV society. If what's been on television the last 3 months doesn't convince you of the need to get off oil, then we're never going to get there. The boner.
I'm glad that we finally got a stop. Let's hope it stays that way. And let's make sure we understand what happened so that it can never happen again.
But let's not stop drilling, even for a moment, while we find out what happened. Right, Boner?
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's working on that, by the way. Just when you think he's not doing anything for the American people, he's working on that and making sure that we can repeal the financial reform that was just passed. What? Mitch McChinless, Republican of
scheduling more tea times than Phil Mickelson during the greatest environmental disaster in our nation's history. That's out of touch.
You know what? Are you kidding me? George Bush was on vacation more than any president in history. And first of all, we've pointed out the difference between Katrina, which was a one-time thing that they knew was coming, mm-hmm. that he deliberately stayed on vacation. He stayed on vacation when he got those memos before 9/11 about the 1,000 red flags and lights blinking and whatever. This is different. This has been going on 3 months. Do they really think the president shouldn't take any time off? And he's not on vacation. He obviously knows what's going on, and
right.
It's an ongoing project in the Gulf. It's like they play such small ball. Seriously.
That was the number one story on Fox News all weekend long. Was the president on vacation in Maine?
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it, huh? That's what they got. Meanwhile, he's passed more legislation, I think, than any president in history at this 18 months in. He's gotten more done, whether you like it or not. 58 minutes after the hour, Eric Bollert from Media Matters is next to co-host Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yes, it is. Why?
Why?
Because I'm broadcasting from a sex sling today. Thank you, Todd. Todd from Sport Sheets Door Jam Sex Sling has. Sling. I'm in a sling.
That wasn't just from some random listener. That was from the actual company?
I believe so. Yes.
Sweet.
He has a card. He's from a sex swing company of some sort. Mama's, because my back is going out every other day because of my broken foot and the crutches and the, you know.
I wonder if that's Todd in the illustration.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you. So my computer guy hurt his foot
right.
because I'm a disaster magnet and everyone around me eventually. Just saying. I've given you fair warning. So now I just still don't have no wireless printer. But hopefully today it'll get hooked up. But guess what?
What?
I just killed my Mac laptop, so now I can't print from somewhere else anyway. How, do you ask? I knocked a glass of wine over with my cast onto my Mac.
That is why I keep telling you, you need to put your wine in a sippy cup. You really do.
I really need a no tippy cup. All right. Here's the important thing. And this is really important. I have Carbonite Online Backup. Because remember, you put Skype and everything on that computer. Bye-bye.
Oh, really?
Bye-bye.
Oh,
except
no.
I have Carbonite, so I'm good. It's a must for your computer, too. Carbonite automatically backs up the files on your PC or Mac whenever you're connected to the Internet. Go to Carbonite.com, enter Stephanie for my special 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie. Hello, Jim. How do you like my sport sheet sex sling?
I beg your pardon? Oh,
there it is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hey,
yes,
now.
I'm going to get that sucker hooked up for you in just a little bit. Don't you worry.
That
all right.
It's fun.
Uh-huh. I told you he'd be delighted. Every day's like Christmas on this show.
And there's an instruction manual and DVD, too, Jim.
Oh, mm-hmm. I may have to peruse that.
Meantime, it's Monday. That means Eric Bollert's here. Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollert.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollert.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollert from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollert.
Eric, it is going to hurt so good should I fall out of my sex swing during right-wing world, but I will try to stay harnessed. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I don't think Eric wants to get dragged down into that.
Eric is a high-minded fellow.
Yes.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we? Why? Oh, heavens. I believe you guys notated, didn't you, how many times Fox has covered the Black Panther scandal incident
Black
thing?
Black Panther, yeah.
Yeah, how many times?
Well,
I don't know.
Over the years, they've been on at least 50 times. I mean, this is a group that has, like, enough people to fill a minivan.
Yeah.
And Fox loves to have them on, and they love to present them as Black America, and they're basically street performers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Fox is in sort of uber outrage about this group, and the only one paying any attention to this group is Fox News. It's a great little scheme they have going.
Well, and the event that they keep showing the video of happened over 2 years ago.
Right, right, I know. And we all watched the video, and we all thought, God, that's ridiculous and gross, and what are they doing there saying those racist things? And that was all 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and we all moved on with our lives. But now,
yes.
apparently, it has sprouted into a sort of ad scam meets Watergate conspiracy theory.
Yes, yes. Somehow we were able to move on with our lives despite the hugeness of the story. All right, Hannity on the NAACP.
And here's this case. The NAACP, they have the resolution, explicitly racist behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any specific examples? Because I think the worst thing you can call somebody, one of the worst things is a racist.
Well,
is there any example that any Tea Party members said anything racist, held any racist signs? Because
yes.
we can't find it.
What?
Wow! Wow!
This reminds me of last August when Nancy Pelosi suggested that these Tea Party rallies, people were carrying sort of swastika and Nazi symbols. And Jonah Goldberg and Andrew Breitbart wrote columns calling her a liar. And then, of course, you know, Media Matters and everyone else on the left said, oh, you mean these posters, these, and these? I mean, they're everywhere. And now they're doing the, you know, racism, what racism? I love Hannity says the worst thing you can do is call someone a racist. And that's all Fox does in terms of the new Black Panther Party. I mean, in that case, it's probably legit. But you can't spend the whole week calling people out as racist and then turn around and say, oh, the worst thing you can do
call
someone a racist.
Yes, funny you should mention that, Eric, because here is Glenn Beck, who, as you recall, called the president racist, called the president, said the president hates white people. Apparently the president, the one provoking a race war.
The NAACP comes out and says that. Mm-hmm. The DOJ is, filing suit in Arizona. The Black Panthers come out. They are poking. They need people to react. They need anger in the streets. And the secret is they need a race war or any kind of war pulling each other apart. Divided, we will fall. They know it.
Well, is he remembering some childhood trauma? Poking.
Show us on the doll. Show us on the doll.
Yeah. Did he catch you in the naughty place? Poking.
Wow.
I mean, you know, this is the jiu-jitsu thing. I mean, obviously, Glenn Beck and the folks on the right are the one. The race baiting in the last week is just off the chart.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's just all the black guys are in on it. I mean, that's basically, Holder's in on it, Obama's in on it, and the new black. I mean, you couldn't make it any more simple, the race baiting going on.
Even Kirsten Powers is in on it.
Apparently.
Yeah.
NAACP. I mean, they want to talk about black men from now until November. I mean, that is clearly the campaign strategy. They think it's going to work. You know, this makes their the right-wing attack on gay marriage, which was used for get out the vote in the past years. This makes that stuff look tame.
Well,
Willie Horton is just ugly beyond belief.
Willie Horton worked so well for them. So
it did very well for them.
Monica Crowley in for O'Reilly.
There is real racism in America. But what the NAACP went out there and did by attacking the Tea Party with non-existent charges of non-existent racism, rather, they are going down this road of boy who cried wolf, so that when real racism does come up, people are less inclined to take it seriously.
Did she really say boy?
Yeah. Whoops. Whoopsie.
Again, the point is to just water down the discussion of race so that it becomes completely irrelevant. And so, as Monica was saying, when they say it in the future, we don't have to pay attention because we've decided they're faking, and we've decided that white America is fine, and we've decided that there is no more racism. So they're just trying to completely devalue the word and the charge and all of it, so it becomes utterly meaningless and use it as a get out the vote sort of fuel.
Yeah, well, I was saying one of my favorite exchanges was Mark Williams, this guy that just got
you're fired.
Finally got expelled. You know you're racist when the Tea Party finally is okay. You know we really got it. Did you see? Wait, where's my wacky comedy music? Did you see this, Eric? He wrote a wacky comedy piece that finally got him. The Tea Party saw a major split over the weekend. The National Tea Party Federation expelling a member group after its spokesman wrote an online post satirizing. It's that comedy, Jim. It was a fictional letter from what he called colored people to President Abraham Lincoln. Williams, who said his letter was satirical, started it like this. Dear Mr. Lincoln, we coloreds have taken a vote and decided that we don't cotton to that whole emancipation thing. Freedom means having to work for real, think for ourselves, and take consequences along with the rewards. That's just far too much to ask of us colored people, and we demand that it stop. Bailouts are just big money welfare, and isn't that what all we want all coloreds to strive for? What kind of racist would want to end big money welfare? What they need to do is start handing the bailouts directly to us coloreds!
See, if you're going to do satire, you better know exactly what your target is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you making fun of black people, President Lincoln, people who... Yeah.
So, anyway, but yeah, hilarious. In one of his last appearances, Eric, before he got fired, I think it was on MSNBC when he said there's absolutely no racism in the Tea Party movement, unless you look in a mirror. But
The whole argument last week from the Tea Party was, you know, there's no racism in the Tea Party movement. So who do they do? What do they do? They have basically, a racist nut job. Mark Williams out parading on TV making that claim. A, CNN should be ashamed of itself for constantly inviting someone like Mark Williams on to talk about anything, let alone race in America. And hopefully with this demotion, they will lose his number. Same with MSNBC. I mean, this is ridiculous.
I gotta read this to you. I gotta read this transcript because it's hilarious. So it's Williams. It's impossible. It's impossible for there to be a racist element in the Tea Party. You don't get it.
What?
This is the Tea Party is about human rights. It's about the U.S. Constitution. The U.S. Constitution is mankind's foremost human rights document. Tamron Hall says, what about the signs of the president as an African with a bone in his nose? What is that about the Constitution? Williams says, those signs were bought by the Crash the Tea Party, the coalition of anti-Tea Party groups.
No.
And then he says, Google Crash the Tea Party. You'll find it there. Buy my book.
Yeah. He said, buy my book?
Yeah, he literally said, buy my book.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, if he took his own advice and Googled Crash the Tea Party, he'd see the group didn't even exist until April of this year, a year after the racist signs began appearing at
that's
the
right.
Tea Party rallies. But oh, well. Oh, well. All right. Oh, hey, looky what I found. It's an old relic from Right Wing World, Eric. It's Lou Dobbs. And apparently he's doing his own polling and math and stuff.
These jobs, these so-called green jobs that he continues to extol, we have, for every green job created, two traditional jobs are lost. I'm not sure we can afford that kind of progress on the part of the Obama administration.
Where did he get that, Eric? What?
Is Lou broadcasting out of his basement now? Or what's
Yes.
What's his deal?
That sound quality was a little dicey. Wow.
I don't know. I mean, I don't really... trust Lou. It's funny because Lou Dobbs, when you go back like 10 years ago, he was like America's foremost business reporter.
Yes, he was.
And of course, if he talked about unemployment or the economy, you would take him seriously.
Right.
And now he's like, you can't take anything he says seriously. So it really does highlight how far he fell.
Yep, exactly. Eric Vollert remains in the sidecar. Right Wing World continues next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm sorry, that's inappropriate.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show now in Downward Dog.
Yeah, on a moving chair.
Jim says I look like I'm on the verge of re-injuring myself. I'm just trying to keep my back from seizing up, so I'm in the yoga Downward Dog position, which Jim enjoys for other reasons.
That's not quite Downward Dog, though, because you need to point the microphone at your face.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. He's fixing my phone screen first, engineer guy, and then he's going to put the sex swing up. So
yeah.
We'll be fine. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Hello, Eric Bollert.
Hey.
Welcome back. All right. Gary B. Smith, who's this on the Fox News?
He's one of their commentators.
It's just it's your garden variety anti-union screed.
They're a cartel. That's what a union is. A union controls supply in order to jack up prices. That's what they do, and they're very effective. Union employees make it costs the company roughly on average 5 to 10% more. Unions are bad. It's like a big tax on business. We don't need it.
Oh, I see.
So slave labor is what you're looking for.
Yes,
yes.
That would
work
be
so well for the South for a while.
And if you're not for it, you're anti-business.
And to think they run a business network as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure that's very insightful. perspective they offer.
John Stossel on the Fox Business Channel, speaking of which.
Liberty has not been the natural state of things for most societies throughout history. The tendency is for the powers that are people in power to take more and more power. I'm threatened by religious fanatics who want to kill us, but right. I'm more threatened by our own constantly growing government.
Oh, I see. See, big government more threatening than terrorists.
And unions.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, if unions, if
don't
terrorists unionize, yeah, forget about
unions
it.
Unions don't get you, the government will.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Eric Bowler, that concludes another vomitous right-wing world. Thank you for helping it go down easier.
Talk to you soon.
See you next week. There he goes, Eric Bowler. Jim!
Tyranny!
It's unions. Time for a very topical edition of Guess the Quote. The president will be speaking at 10:30 Eastern,
yes.
Christopher,
that's
just
right.
A few minutes, on the economy. Who said Republicans are feeling good about the midterms, so good that they've started saying what they really think? This week, the party's Senate leadership stopped pretending it cares about deficits, stating explicitly that while we can't afford to aid the unemployed or prevent mass layoffs of school teachers, cost is literally no object when it comes to tax cuts for the affluent. And that's one reason, there are others, why you should fear the consequences if the GOP actually does as well in November as it hopes. Who said that?
Groucho Marx.
No, Paul Krugman in another fabulous article, entire Redo That Voodoo.
Yeah.
Get it?
Only
it's
that you do so well.
Who said this past Monday, John Kyle of Arizona, the second-ranking Republican in the Senate, was asked the obvious question, if deficits are so worrisome, what about the budgetary cost of extending the Bush tax cuts for the wealthy, which the Obama administration wants to let expire but Republicans want to make permanent? What should replace $650 billion or more in lost revenue over the next decade? His answer was breathtaking. You do need to offset the cost of increased spending, and that's what Republicans object to. But you should never have to offset the cost of a deliberate decision to reduce tax rates on Americans. So $30 billion in aid to the unemployed is unaffordable, but 20 times that much in tax cuts for the rich doesn't count. Who said that?
Hey, what's the matter, you Chico Marx? Hey, upstairs or no downstairs?
No. Paul Krugman in another fabulous article, Redo That Voodoo. Okay, one last.
Okay.
Who said Ronald Reagan said his tax cuts would reduce deficits, then presided over a near tripling of federal debt. When Bill Clinton raised taxes on top incomes, conservatives predicted economic disaster. What actually followed was an economic boom and a remarkable swing from budget deficit to surplus. Then the Bush tax cuts came along, helping turn that surplus into a persistent deficit even before the crash. But we're talking about voodoo economics here, so perhaps it's not surprising that belief in the magical powers of tax cuts is a zombie doctrine. No matter how many times you kill it with facts, it just keeps coming back. And despite repeated failure in practice, it is more than ever the official view of the GOP. Who said that?
Adolf Marx, a.k.a. Harpo. His real name was Adolf.
Was it really?
Really, yes. Now. Really
that
now.
That was just another name back
no,
then.
No, it's not that. Him. Okay. It is Paul Krugman, another... Do you know that even Alan Greenspan has come out and said these tax cuts were his idea?
Yeah.
Yes, he had said that those should go by now.
That's yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. The oracle... The eagle flies at midnight, but the dog will scratch its hindquarters.
Ooh, that means something. It's something important. I think it means tax cuts for rich people. Yeah.
He always spent entirely too much time in the bathtub for my, I think that's it. His brain got soggy, I think.
Became wrinkled like a prune.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's exactly. I saw what my foot looked like when my giant Ling condom didn't... work and they took my cast off Friday.
Was it wrinkled like you...
It looked like Alan Greenspan, my foot.
Oh, dude.
Very wrinkly. Way too much time in the bath. Just saying, and maybe some of his brain cells went soggy as well. Anyway, the breaking news calls for full expiration of the Bush tax cuts that he helped enact. Scheduled, there is, of course, the scheduled expiration of the Bush tax cuts at the end of the year. Republicans across the board advocating for the extension of all the cuts have explicitly said extending the cuts for the richest 2% of Americans, which would cost $678 billion.
does not have to be paid for. President Obama has called for letting the cuts for the very richest expire, allowing the rates to reset to where they were under Clinton. Actually, what Greenspan is proposing went a step further, calling for all of the tax cuts to expire, essentially sending the tax code back to 2001. He said the problem is unless we start to come to grips with the long-term outlook, we are going to have major problems. I think we misunderstand the momentum of this deficit going forward.
Yep. The president should have listened to Paul Krugman when he said spend more money on the stimulus. Double it.
In 2005,
have a wishy-washy recovery.
Greenspan said, it turns out we were all wrong when it came to his 2001 support for the tax cuts. Do you remember Senator Clinton at the time said, just for the record, we were not all wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Many people were wrong. He also famously has repented for his deregulatory zeal in the 1990s, saying, quote, those of us who've looked to the self-interest of lending institutions to protect shareholders' equity, myself included, are in a state of shocked disbelief.
Yeah, right.
Shocked. He was shocked to find gambling going on Wall Street.
Shocked to find this gambling going on in the
system. What?
You're winning, sir. Oh, thank you very much.
29 minutes after the hour. The
I was
president,
high. What can I say? I was high in the 90s.
The president will speak live from the Rose Garden. We will go to that live as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Today was the day I realized what's been holding me back my entire life.
Addiction?
No.
Narcissism?
No.
Short attention span?
Huh?
What?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I coined a new phrase. I'm the Sarah Palin of talk radio.
Yes, you did.
She did refudiate. I did defecates.
Tell us what defecates are about.
You repudiate those defecates.
It's a pile of... That's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If your windshield is chipped or cracked, call SafeLight Auto Glass, 1-800-800-2727, or go to SafeLight.com. This portion of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by SafeLight. All right. Pat and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Pat.
Hey, guys. And, you know, I really love the show, so I'm going to say that before I go ahead and bash some of the revisionist history.
Okay.
So I just want to go back to the conversation we had real quickly. What I remember, you know, during the Ronald Reagan era, liberals always want to bring up that he tripled the deficit.
Mm-hmm.
But they always omit the fact that there was a little thing called the Cold War, which was, you know, very expensive. So I guess I would, you know, I mean,
yes.
I would take the outcome of the Cold War over the fact that we tripled the deficit.
But that was deliberate in parts, that they were deliberately overestimating the power of the Soviet Union to justify these huge defense expenditures. That was their plan before they even got into office.
Fair. If you guys want to argue that winning the Cold War, wasn't a good
that's
idea.
Not my point.
That was not his point at all.
That's not the point at all. It was heading that direction anyway.
Here's my point. So let's fast forward, you know, to when Bill Clinton took office.
Mm-hmm.
He ran deficits until 2004 during Newt Gingrich and the Republican Revolution. There were surpluses after that. Up to George W. Bush's tax cuts. Let me go here.
Okay.
Now I'll let you guys talk.
All right, go ahead.
His largest budget deficit was $167 billion in 2005. In 2006, when Democrats took power, it went up to about $350, $400 billion. In 2007, it was like $467 billion after he passed Medicaid Part B. That was his largest budget deficit. Let's take a look at the deficit now. It's $1.5 trillion. So, yeah, we can go ahead and say George Bush ran some deficits, but to try to compare that to what Barack Obama's doing right now is
but
fairly
But Clinton left him a huge
at.
Surplus
yes.
is the point. You're wanting to
compare.
And he
turned that into a deficit.
Yes.
And $167 billion is bad, but to take a surplus to $167 billion in today's dollars, it's basically pennies. So, you know,
so
what I'm saying is in 2006, when Democrats took power, that's when the deficit really exploded, and it was because of Medicare Part B, which was a huge, huge Democratic priority as well.
Okay, sir, you're not, but you can't, he gave, you have to look at the end of a presidency. He handed George Bush a huge surplus. If you're saying that you're concerned mostly about
about deficits, why weren't you concerned with the deficit that Bush left with these tax cuts, which even Greenspan are saying should expire?
And you guys hate Alan Greenspan, and obviously he was wrong on a lot of things, but I would argue
yes.
this, if Paul Krugman
and he's saying he was
spending,
wrong on the deficit, on the tax cuts.
Okay, well, one last point. If Paul Krugman
okay.
wants more
gloss over that. Yeah.
And Nancy Pelosi says unemployment benefits is a stimulus, then shouldn't tax cuts be considered a stimulus as well?
But it's tax cuts for rich people.
But pretty much any economist, even Alan Greenspan now, would say these tax cuts are largely what caused this deficit.
Tax cuts for the middle class, yeah, that would be stimulus, but not for extremely wealthy
people. Tax cuts for the poor? That would be great.
But, well, of course, the poor,
it's relative,
taxes,
yeah.
But...
You just, that's the thing. It's like the Paul Krugman column. I was just, it is really breathtaking how these policies have absolutely been proven to be incorrect.
Yes.
And got us where we are now.
But as long as rich people are happy, then that's what's important. And about Bill Clinton, he raised taxes on the rich, and Newt Gingrich and the rest of the white were saying, we will not be held responsible for what
yes,
happened.
Yes, it's going to be a disaster of epic...
When they got surpluses, they took credit for it, of course.
Right.
Yeah, remember how bad times were under Clinton? Okay, Richard in Austin...
Well, 9/11 happened on his watch.
That's right.
According to the...
How are you? Sorry about your face.
Thank you, Richard. Go ahead.
I just want to talk about that teabagger, Mark Williams, out in... Tea Party Express. And
yes. And this hilarious letter from the colored people to the Lincoln. What?
Does anyone on the right get that he's being racist in that letter, or say, oh, no, that's just plain. He's just being funny there.
Yeah, it's comedy.
Does their brain work differently? Could we get an MRI machine in there? Maybe do three Republicans, three liberals, see if the brain works differently? Maybe.
Well, studies have been done showing that liberal brains and conservative brains just work
differently.
Work
yes.
very, very differently from each other.
Yeah, theirs don't work in a comedy sense, as we've mentioned.
Well, it's all fear-based.
Yeah.
Their Weltanschauung is fear-based.
Their what?
Pardon me?
They use scary words like Weltanschauung, worldview.
Scary German words, apparently.
How? How?
I'm sure Adolf Marx knew what Weltanschauung meant.
All right. President Obama to speak shortly from the Rose Garden. He says Senate Republicans are playing politics with bills that would extend benefits to the unemployed and increase lending to small businesses. He said Republican leadership has chosen to filibuster our recovery and obstruct our progress by blocking votes on agenda items the president said would breathe life into the economic recovery. He said these steps are not just the right thing to do for the hardest hit by the recession. They're the right thing to do for all of us. He accused Republicans of making their stand at the expense of the unemployed after years of championing policies that turned a record surplus into a massive deficit, as we just discussed with our last caller. Obama also called on lawmakers to send him a package of tax breaks and credit extensions for small business. Did you see the boner? He has, I think, another bill that he will throw down in a hissy fit, the financial reform bill.
Hmm.
No.
What happened to the promise that we're going to let the American people see what's in this bill for 48 hours? But nope, we don't have time to do that.
It'll probably be on the internet, and we'll have plenty of time to
yes.
look it over.
Yes. By the way, I take it back, not the party of no ideas. Their one idea is repeal everything that the president has done. So, he urged a repeal Friday, as you know, of the landmark financial reform bill. Democrats having a field day with his comments that it ought to be repealed. Boehner also called for a moratorium on any new federal regulations on businesses.
Oh, God.
Wouldn't that be a good idea?
Yes. More drilling without restrictions of any kind.
Uh-huh. President Obama seized on Boehner's call for repeal Thursday. He said already the Republican leader in the House has called for repeal of this reform. We can't afford another financial crisis as we're just digging out from the last one.
God. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
digging out thanks to Obama's stimulus plan, which should have been bigger, according to Paul Krugman.
The boner on the economy.
American people are continuing to ask the question, where are the jobs? And all they're getting out of Washington Democrats is more stimulus spending and more unsustainable federal debt.
Well, they have created jobs, just not enough, because the stimulus wasn't big enough.
Yeah.
That's Paul Krugman keeps saying.
Well, you know, and he may have been right, Jim, not just on a financial sense, but politically, because now it's going to be hard to go back and get another one when they've been out there with this rhetoric for months, convincing people the stimulus has done
that's
nothing.
That's exactly what Krugman prophesied.
Exactly.
He said, if it's not an overwhelming,
jolt to the economy.
Right, then it's going to be criticized for being ineffective, and you might as well not have done it at all.
the boner.
Moratorium on new federal regulations is a great idea. It sends a wonderful signal to the private sector. They're going to have some breathing room.
The private sector is going to have some breathing room. And then they get their cover off their back, and then the private sector will create jobs, and there won't be any kind of economic, ecological disasters, really.
That's what, Wall Street and Big Oil, they need more breathing room to run a little more hog wild.
Thanks to Big Oil, there is no breathing room in the Gulf. They're breathing methane and corrects it.
Wow.
Right.
All right. The president late as usual, just, harshing my buzz.
One thing about George W. Bush that I kind of miss, he was always punctual to his...
He was always right on time with his really bad ideas.
They were really bad ideas, but he was on time with them. Give him credit
like that one time
for that.
He showed up and no one else did, and he was sort of dancing.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. When was he always supposed to meet somebody?
That wasn't in China, was it?
No, that was here.
Yeah, he did a little soft shoe for everybody.
Oh, yeah, it was on the steps of the White House. That's right, I remember that.
He was a goofball.
No, it was in China.
He
tried to go out the wrong door. That was
yeah. Yes.
What a goofball.
And the look on his face.
YouTube moment.
Exactly. All right. I'm just going to a random call since my phone screen and my sex sling don't work so far. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, it's George and Tempe. How are
hey,
you?
Hey, George. Go ahead.
Hey, somebody's got to talk to that ridiculous freeper who calls about the deficits.
Yes.
First and foremost, George Bush never put any of the war funding in the budget. So there's $300 or $400 or $500 billion a year that he spent that whole time that's not in the budget. And he doesn't talk about that. And Obama did change that. So anything that's spent on the wars now is in the budget.
Right.
So there's a huge difference. That guy is a moron.
Yeah. I know. Well, here's what I love what they do, George, too, is they take like one certain point in one presidency and compare it to another certain point in another presidency that seems to prove their point.
Well, yeah, it's absolutely preposterous, and they're timing. Everything is blamed on the last guy if it's a Republican in office, but it's credited if it's a Democrat. It's just ridiculous. It's preposterous.
Yes, thank you. It's despicable.
They do hit and run questions.
Yeah.
Well, they drop that little bomb there, and once we correct them and tell them what's wrong with that stupid idea, they just move on. They don't acknowledge that they've lost the argument.
Exactly. Anyway, my next point. Wait a minute.
The earth is flat. Anyway.
Buddy in Columbus. Hey, buddy.
Hey, I've called in to refutiate that guy, too.
All right, then. You want to talk about deficits?
Yeah, the caller before is exactly right. Yes, the deficit made a huge jump under Obama. 80% of it was he put Afghanistan and Iraq on budget.
Right.
And because to his advisors, you don't know what the problem is until you lay it out. And the second part of the deficit was the 20% of it was stimulus. And they had to do that because the private sector wasn't producing any jobs and the banks were not letting any capital out.
Right. Well, exactly. But you're talking about like what we're spending for. We're spending to get out of this hole, not on some unnecessary illegal war or tax cuts for people that don't need it and didn't even ask for it.
Well, the private sector just needs the breathing room. That's all it needs, the breathing room. And some bronzer. And call it Rob Roy's.
Phil in Michigan.
Oh, is it happy hour? I got it out of here.
Hello, Phil in Michigan. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
Wow, I can't believe I am on with Stephanie and the Mooks.
I know, isn't that something? Dreams can come true. Go ahead.
Yes, it is. I was calling to go after the guy who was calling about the budgets. The war was definitely mentioned. I had that as one of my reasons. You could tell he was definitely informed because he kept referring to Medicare Plan B.
Yes.
And not Medicare Plan D.
You meant yes.
But the other part was that when the Republicans were in office, when they were in power, they never met a spending bill that they didn't like because there were lots of things that were passed like, I don't know, the bridge to nowhere for, people in Alaska, things like that.
Yep, exactly. All right. One more. Bob in Akron, Ohio, with the actual fun facts from the, he calls it the revisionist Republican douchebag. Hi, Steph. To the revisionist Republican douchebag you just talked to, 97% of the spending spree, quote-unquote, that Obama went on was bringing on to the books, as we just said. All the debt and the money we were spending on Bush's watch, not one penny of two wars, the trillions in tax cuts, and the $750 billion Medicare prescription drug bill was accounted for. The Republicans funded nearly everything Bush pissed away using emergency spending as supplemental bills. To paraphrase Obama at his inauguration, if we were spending it anyway, we should be honest enough to put it on the books. Bob, and that happened. Thank you, Bob.
Can you say pissed away on the air?
I did.
All right.
46 minutes. I don't know. We'll ask the douchebag when he calls back. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You people make me sick.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Lay down, Steffi.
I got it. I get it.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Because my back seems to go out every show.
Yes.
Now that I've broken my foot and I'm hobbling around on crutches. So you're going to go to Walgreens and get me a what?
One of those foldy chaise lounges, you know?
Yeah. We found it impossible to get the sex sling installed properly, but we tried.
Well, we're working on the screener software first. And
yes.
Then we
it's a sex sling and screener software.
Then we'll work on the sex sling.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. By the way, we're not kidding. Someone did send me a sex sling to do the show from, so
sex
that my back won't seize up.
I still need to take a picture of that and post it.
Yeah, well, I don't. I guess you have to get permission from the gal in the sex sling on the box, because that's a...
Wow, she needs to... She looks cold. She needs to put some clothes on.
Lawrence in St. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me. Just talked a little bit about the Tea Party and Fox and racism and how it all mixes with public policy here.
Mm-hmm.
Our failure, and I'm talking about, and I'm kind of talking about the liberal radio and just the Democrats in general, our failure to not address this has been detrimental to public policy, and I'll tell you why. Because if nobody wants to address these Tea Partiers and they expound about we're not racist, and here are their new code words: we don't like deficits. What they're really saying is, I don't like a black guy in office. They don't necessarily hate Obama. They're afraid of him. So we need to define what racism really is. And until we define the new word of racism, which I believe is a subconscious or a conscious belief that another race or a group is superior or inferior to your group, therefore you are racist. So what I mean is, and I'll just take this out of context, a black person can be racist. You know how? Because if we think another race, for example, a white race, is superior to us, therefore we are racist because we think they are superior. Conversely, if white people think... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I have a bias against run-on sentences. That's my only ism.
I'm sure he had something profound in there.
I'm sorry. The punctuation police pulled him over.
That was the first draft. That was the first draft.
He was spitballing. Yeah. I mean, that's fine. Mm-hmm. All right. By the way, can I have my dueling banjos, please? As it turns out, Jim, some journalist outfits have sussed out some racism in the Tea Party.
Really?
The Kansas City Star digs into the racist elements of the Tea Party.
Those people are.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City.
Citing various instances of racism linked to the movement and concluding, it's clear that some with racist agendas are trying to make inroads into the party, noting in several instances Tea Party members with racist backgrounds. Billy Roper, you remember him from the Ropers.
Oh, sure.
A write-in candidate for governor of Arkansas. He's a unapologetic white nationalist.
Ah.
He said, and I quote, "I don't want non-whites in my country in any form or fashion or any status."
All right, move to
Finland. He's a Tea Party member that's been gathering support for his cause by attending Tea Party rallies. The conservative, the Council of Conservative Citizens promotes the preservation of the white race, has sponsored its own Tea Parties in some southern states. The council's website has referred to blacks as a retrograde species of humanity and said non-white immigration would turn the country into a slimy brown mass of glop.
Oh, geez. Wow. No, that's
so
BP that's doing
that.
That
seems just some racist element to the Tea Party. All right. Oh, the president is speaking live from the Rose Garden. We join him now.
Lending for small businesses, where most of America's jobs are created. So we've got a lot of work to do to make sure that we are digging ourselves out of this tough economic hole that we've been in. But even as we work to jumpstart job growth in the private sector, even as we work to get businesses hiring again, we also have another responsibility: to offer emergency assistance to people who desperately need it, to Americans who've been laid off in this recession. We've got a responsibility to help them make ends meet.
Oh, that just makes people
and support
lazy.
Their families, even as they are looking for another job. And that's why it's so essential to pass the unemployment insurance extension that comes up for a vote tomorrow. We need to pass it for men like Jim Chukalis, who's with me here today. Jim worked as a parts manager at a Honda dealership until about 2 years ago. He's posted resumes everywhere. He's gone door to door looking for jobs. But he hasn't gotten a single interview. Now, he's trying to be strong for his two young kids, but now that he's exhausted his unemployment benefits, that's getting harder to do. We need to pass it for women like Leslie Mako, who lost her job at a fitness center last year and has been looking for work ever since. Because she's eligible for only a few more weeks of unemployment, she's doing what she never thought she'd have to do. Not at this point, anyway. She's turning to her father for financial support. And we need to pass it for Americans like Denise Gibson, who was laid off from a real estate agency earlier this year. Denise has been interviewing for jobs, but so far, nothing's turned up. Meanwhile, she's fallen further and further behind on her rent, and with her unemployment benefits set to expire, she's worried about what the future holds. We need to pass it for all the Americans who haven't been able to find work in an economy where there are five applicants for every opening, who need emergency relief to help them pay the rent and cover their utilities and put food on the table while they're looking for another job. And for a long time, there's been a tradition under both Democratic and Republican presidents to offer relief to the unemployed. That was certainly the case under my predecessor when Republican senators voted several times to extend emergency unemployment benefits.
Not now. Right now. Why? Because it's a party of obstructionist asshats, as I think I've pointed out from time to time. Guess what, kids?
What?
Gail King, my buddy, my pal, my former co-host, coming up next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. You know, I have fancy show business friends.
You do? Where did
yes.
that start?
Well, from many of my failed television shows.
Oh.
That's how. But they've gone on to greater and greater heights while I am here. Gail King, my buddy and pal from my old Oxygen days. Good morning, Gail.
Hi, Stephanie Miller. Every time I see you, I'm thinking she's gone on to greater and greater heights.
Well, I was pretty rock bottom, so it didn't take much. How are you, honey?
I'm really good, really good.
This is very exciting. You have a radio show, and it is airing right here on my Los Angeles affiliate, 3 to 5 p.m. every day, KTLK AM 1150. It's around the country already, right?
Yes, I'm coming, Stephanie, to play at your school. Thinking, if there's a school and Stephanie Miller is one of the cool kids, I want to go there too. So I said, please let me come play, please.
Oh, coming. Oh, please. People know you as, obviously radio, television, Oprah's best friend. Does Oprah talk about me a lot? Does she miss me?
Well, it's funny. I told her that I was doing you today, and she said, how is Stephanie doing? You know, she was supposed to come over for lunch last week. She stood me up. I said, I'm sure Stephanie will have a good excuse.
Oh, it's our little running joke. Every time she calls, I said, I have a bigger name on the other line. It's our little joke together. Now, because, someone just said to me last week, they were like, Gail King seems so nice. And I'm like, she is so nice. I've worked with her for, how long do we work together? A year. I'm like, I would have seen an ugly side were there one.
Yeah, who said that to you, Stephanie?
Just somebody, a random person.
Oh.
Said you know, that you seem so nice, and you are, in fact.
No, but we had a really good time. Stephanie and I were together in the Oxygen days. Me and Stephanie, it's great because I thought that our personalities worked really well, worked very nicely together. Stephanie was always the funny one, And I was always the one who was supporting Stephanie in all that she did, trying to be funny, and I could never pull it off.
And looking at me disapprovingly when it was called for.
No, I didn't.
Now, and the last time I saw you, funny that, you know, we're talking politics, both of us, now and again, and I saw you, and you remember the fundraiser for Barack Obama at Oprah's place in Santa Barbara.
Yes, yes, yes.
Back when it was just a pipe dream, remember?
I know, Stephanie, I know. You know, I actually have really become a bit of a political junkie. I see you all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be talking to the leader of the Tea Party later on today after they had the ousting of that guy who had written the letter to President Lincoln. It was just
yeah, hilarious, huh?
Yeah, that I thought, that ain't so funny.
Yeah, I don't get it.
No, I don't get it either. We're talking to David Webb today about that because I'm thinking racist, satire, whatever you call it, it absolutely was not funny.
Right.
And I've seen you on Larry King and all these different shows talking about the Tea Party. I sit there and crack up.
Yeah, well, it's ridiculous for them to claim. And by the way, I'm not saying, I don't know what you are, but I don't think they're all racist. But to deny that there's racist elements, I was saying it's hilarious. This guy just got fired, was on one of the shows this weekend, and it was hilarious. The anchor said, well, because he said there's no racism at all, and she said, well, if you don't count the signs with the president with a bone through his nose.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
Yes, and they call Barack Obama, what do they call him, a Muslim thug or something like that?
Yeah.
A Muslim thug. I'm thinking, oh, so I'm really looking forward to talking to David because he seems very reluctant to call him a racist. You know, we talked to him last week and he said, well, it's a fringe element, but it's a fringe element that's very scary. But on the show, I put out a call to Tea Party people. Please call me. I'd like to know what you stand for, what you believe. And I've had some really intelligent, coherent people call.
Yeah.
Who make some sense. So you're right, Stephanie. You cannot paint the Tea Party with one big racist brush. That is absolutely not true.
Now, speaking of racism, I hear you were just talking about Mel Gibson. And I thought this is hilarious to me that Whoopi Goldberg is still defending him. I don't understand. Drinking doesn't make you racist, does it?
No, drinking doesn't make you racist. And as you may recall, Stephanie, I don't drink. But I've heard from people who do, some of my alcoholic friends. I have heard, though, that when you drink, it doesn't make you say things that you don't believe.
Right.
That it just makes your true thoughts come out. I am not surprised, though, that Whoopi is defending him because she says he's a friend. She knows him. She's known him for many years. She has spent time with him. He has been in her home. And I said on the radio to myself, if I had a friend who would behave that way. To me, it's sort of like Jerry Seinfeld, who came to the defense of Michael Richards. You know, everybody was appalled and outraged. How could he say anything about Michael Richards? And Jerry said, look, I know this guy. This is not who he is. And I think Whoopi's doing the same thing.
Yeah, but don't you think, here's was my thought. Whoopi, he's not going to say it in front of you. Do you know what I mean? Racists don't say it.
It's not racism.
That is true. That is true.
No, I had this, I always tell this story, I had this landlady back in New York 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And I had a friend over and she blurted out the N-word. She said, oh, you know, Steffi plays basketball with those N-words, you know. And we both had this shocked look, but it's literally that, like, oh, there's none of them here, so it's okay for us to say it.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Did the lady say it in front of your friend? Or
yes. And we both just had this shocked look. Like, but, you know, it's that kind of racism that people go, well, why would you care? We're all white here.
Well, listen, I've heard people say to me, you know, Gail, I really like you because you're not like other black people. And they think they're giving you a compliment. People have actually said that to me.
Wow.
And I go, what exactly does that mean? And then when they're pressed to explain it, they get very uncomfortable. And then, well, you know, no, what I meant was, you know, it's just one of those things, especially if was your landlady an older person?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
yes.
You know, it's inexcusable, but I mean, I think there are some people of a certain generation. The N-word is never acceptable.
Right, well, what I'm saying is, Whoopi, you know, he's not going to say it to you. That's the whole, I understand that she maybe knows him or likes him as a friend, but I'm just saying that doesn't make him not a racist.
No, but I understand, though, why she's coming to his defense. I do. And when I said it, people called me and said, I'm surprised. Would you defend a friend like that? You know, I it depends on the circumstances and how I knew the friend. I get why she's doing it. I really do. Nor do I think, Stephanie, that just because you use the N-word, that makes you a racist. I do not think that. Mm-hmm. I've seen some friends that I know who have used the N-word, and when I call them on it, I know they don't mean I know they don't mean it the way that they said it to me. I know that. I also don't think that they're racist. Mel Gibson, I think, is very angry and is mad at a whole lot of people, a lot of different ethnic groups. I think that he has bigger issues than racism or not racism.
Yeah, I'll say. Now, because you are obviously famous for being such a good friend.
I'm not a racist, Stephanie. I'm not a racist.
But you're famous. You're almost
you're everywhere, and I like them.
You're famous for what a good friend you are. Now, what would Oprah have to do that you would not defend her? Let's have a hypothetical.
Oh, boy.
I know. Stephanie, I can't even think of anything that she would do.
I know.
I really can't. And I'm not trying to be Pollyannish of it. I'm not. But
no, she is.
Even in moments where there's nobody around, there's nobody looking, Oprah Winfrey is very true to her core always.
I know.
Always. You know, I'll tell this story, and I know it sounds a little elitist, and she probably wouldn't want me to share it, but it's true. When we were, when you travel out of the country, you know, if you're carrying over $10,000 in cash, you have to declare it.
Right. Right.
Now, most of us do not have $10,000 in cash.
No, I don't have it anywhere.
No. At any time.
In cash or in any form.
Oprah just happened to have $10,000 in cash. And so when we landed, you're supposed to declare it. And I am a law-abiding citizen, but I said, it's your money. Why do you have, if you declare it, then you have to pay for it. I said, why don't you just distribute it? Give me some, give Andre some, give Libby some, and, you know, divide it all up so that it's not all $10,000 of yours. I said, nobody will know. And she goes, but I'll know. But I'll know. I'm not going to do that. And we're all members of the inner circle, and all law-abiding citizens go, yeah, you could give me two, and then we'll all just put it down on our forms and then give it back to you. She goes, no, I'm not doing that.
Good luck getting me back.
Stephanie, who is that talking?
That's Jim Ward, my co-host.
I would give it back. I would absolutely give it back. But the point I'm making, Jim Ward, is that even when nobody's looking, she is very true to her core.
Yeah. No, she's, I've only met her once, but she's, she really is who, I mean, I think that's why she's so successful. She really is who you see on TV. I mean, she's just like that in person.
Absolutely true.
And you know what? And I rehearsed, as you can imagine, Gail, for many, many months what I was going to say to Oprah when I met her. And I said, you know what I said? I said, flan. That's pretty much, that's the only syllable I sort of formed. But, she's a force of nature.
Usual Stephanie Miller, because I have never, ever, ever seen you at a loss for words, ever.
That's what Oprah was.
Situation.
In fact, I remember at the Obama event, you guys were sitting. Remember we were watching Stevie Wonder?
Yes.
At the Obama fundraiser? Yeah. And I came up to see you. I was like, oh, it's Gail. And so I came up to see you, and I think Oprah Security said, please don't approach Miss Winfrey from behind. I said, I'm sorry, I just wanted to talk to Gail. I know her. Gail, hi. Yeah.
Sure you do.
Anyway, thank you for not having me sent to Gitmo or wherever.
No, I would never. I am always glad to see you, Stephanie. Always glad.
I am always glad to see you, too. And I'm thrilled that you are on it's our home station here, our flagship affiliate, KTLK AM 1150, 3 to 5 p.m. here in Los Angeles and around the country, the Gail King Show. I highly recommend it. Gail, thank you so much.
Stephanie, before you go, did you get married?
Was there a rumor? Oh, I got engaged to Ben Stein last week on Larry King, but we haven't consummated it yet.
No, I heard, because today I'm having a conversation about dating younger. I'm 55. I'm very open to dating younger, and I recently went on a date, and I was very surprised to find out that he was single tier 28, and I said, game over. So today I'm going to be asking listeners today, how young is too young? And I was wondering, Stephanie, how young is too young?
Oh.
If you got married, do you have a partner?
Yes.
Do you have any limits on how young is too young?
Well, here's my rule. They just can't have their mittens still attached to their jacket. Other than that, it's all game. But good for you, sister. 28. Rock on, my friend.
No. I ran away screaming. No.
Gail King, you can catch the radio show here on KTLK and around the country. Thank you, honey. Come, give me a call when you're in L.A.
I will. We can go to Sprinkle.
There you go.
Yeah.
I love sprinkles.
All right. Thank you, honey.
Bye.
There she goes, Gail King. Were we both echoing, or am I just echoing in my own headphones?
No, there was an echo on the line.
Oh.
Yes, but I was riding the levels. So.
She's so delightful. I'd like to hear everything she says twice. I don't care.
It was everything you were saying twice.
Oh, well,
she
wasn't better.
Yeah.
That's even better. Everyone listening always, I wish Stephanie would say that again. Oh, she did. 18 minutes after the hour, back to Celebrity Stack and more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Makes me sick in a wonderful, wonderful way.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I forgot to ask Gail King if I can have a TV job on Oprah's new network, even though I killed her last one. Oh, well. I'll email her. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere.
You had two shows on that network.
Okay. So, what's your point?
Were you the only Oxygen star to have two shows on that network?
Maybe. Okay.
And yet the network
died.
Just
because of quantity doesn't mean I'm necessarily most responsible.
All right. Can you find, like, clips of both of those shows up on the YouTubes?
Probably. Jose in Oakland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jose.
Hi, guys. Hey, I heard you say earlier that left-wingers and right-wingers have different ways of thinking. I disagree. I think most of us are pretty much the same. You know, every day we're driving on these freeways and we trust each other with our lives. And when it comes to dangers, we trust each other with our lives. But I don't
trust anybody on the freeways in Los Angeles. I don't know who you're talking to.
Well, you know what I mean. We're all out here. I see a Obama sticker. I see Ron Paul stickers. I see, you know, McCain stickers.
Mm-hmm.
And in regards to this NAACP, they have little credibility with me because, you know, my godchildren are black. But any organization that only promotes the advancement of one race, like the colored race or
the
like
colored race?
Well, colored people. It's part of the.
Yeah, that's that term's a little out of date.
Well, anarchic and racist.
Well, look, when they say they're for the advancement of colored people, that's at the exclusion of other people, correct? And
no.
Same with La Raza.
No.
I don't
agree
with La Raza. I'm Hispanic.
No, it's for equality.
Equality for colored
parity
people.
With all other races. That's what they're working towards.
Well, that's my point is being this. It's the year 2010. I believe the civil rights movement has gained what they wanted to gain, right? And for them,
yeah, that's all done now. That's all done. Everybody has equal rights. Okay. I'm not racist against colored people. What?
What did I say?
What did I say? Benjamin Jealous, the NAACP president, by the way, on the Tea Party. On that subject.
The bigots and racists in your ranks or take full responsibility for all of their actions. We will no longer allow you to hide like cowards behind signs that say lynch our president or anyone else.
Ooh, he has cool music behind him, too. By the way, a scholar who President George W. Bush appointed as vice chair of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights,
mm-hmm.
Abigail Thernstrom, has a reputation as a tough conservative critic of affirmative action and politically correct positions on race.
Mm-hmm.
She says the Black Panther story is a load of...
Yes. Bullocks.
Yes. The Justice Department's handling of the alleged incident over blah, blah, new Black Panther Party, blah... she's made a dramatic break from her usual allies. She said this doesn't have to do with the Black Panthers. This has to do with their fantasies about how they could use this issue to topple the Obama administration.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
She said, my fellow conservatives on the commission had this wild notion they could bring Eric Holder down and really damage the president. Anyway, she was talking about how the same thing the Bush administration said. This was basically nothing. That's why they...
And as Eric Bullard said...
Decided that the facts and the law did not support pursuing the claims.
As Eric Bullard said this morning, you could fit every member of this new Black Panther Party group in a minivan.
Yes.
It's not that big.
Oh, and by the way, Fox ran 95 segments on it thus far. We will talk to Brad Sherman in just a couple of minutes, who apparently he got caught in the facts of... Dragnet, because he didn't know what the Black Panther thing was either, much like I didn't when our first right-wing caller called.
Right.
He said the disconnect was painfully clear between the conservative media. It's like a whole other media universe. He was asked about the controversy at the town hall meeting, admitted to his constituents he hadn't heard of it, perhaps because it happened a long time ago and he's working on more important things like getting people jobs.
And it was already dismissed by the Bush administration.
Right. God, unbelievable.
There's no there.
Right.
Exactly. Frank in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Steph.
Hi, go ahead.
I never believed I would be defending Mel Gibson.
Oh, dear.
Especially as a civil rights lawyer and Jewish. I remember as a kid when I was probably 11 or 12 going to temple one day and hearing my rabbi tell a story about a scion of the community who got drunk and began shouting all kinds of racial garbage. In other words, a Mel Gibson. And he asked the congregation, who's the real person, the drunk or the scion? And, of course, all of us are thinking to ourselves, it's the drunk. But he said, no, it's the scion. And the reason I say that is because the...
Do you mean scion?
It's our scion.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Way of pronouncing. Thank you.
Okay, sorry.
It's okay.
He said that the scion was the better angels of our nature, our superego, that who we strive to be, as opposed to the id, which is what surfaces when we're drunk. So perhaps Mel Gibson is tormented by inner demons, but he should also be judged by what he aspires to and how he's conducted himself when he has not been drunk. Has he
Which
been
is also fairly horrifically. He wasn't drunk for some of these things.
I don't know enough about his personal situation. I know that the movie was blatantly anti-Semitic. At least
yes, it was. It was appalling. By the way, great Frank Rich column again this weekend. I'd forgotten that Mel Gibson had called for Frank Rich to be killed, he and his dog.
Oh, really?
Yes. You remember that?
No.
That, over the Passion of the Christ review? Yeah. Frank Rich does not have a dog, he points out. But other than that... He also wanted his intestines on a pike or something.
Whatever.
Some sort of something.
I think it was a different movie of his.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson's always been a...
I think we did see intestines on a pike in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. However, our caller raises a point. Perhaps he is tortured by scions or cyclopses, and that's what's led him to... What? 29 minutes after the hour, Representative Brad Sherman next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I tend to be very impulsive when I'm angry. I'm the reason that you can't bring water bottles into Dodger games.
That's a long time ago. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Congressman Brad Sherman of the great state of California joins us now. Good morning, Congressman.
Good to be with you, Stephanie.
I am, you know, I'm happy to have you because I have usually just been the target of the same attacks you have been, that we don't know nearly enough about this Black Panther huge story that Fox News has covered 95 times. And, I guess you, at a town hall, someone asked you about it and you hadn't heard about it either. And that may be because the Bush administration thought it was nothing when they dismissed it several years ago, right?
Well, the Bush administration began, you know, this was a November 2008 instance. The Bush administration worked quickly on it. They hadn't completely closed the file when they left. I know Bob Schieffer was on Face the Nation saying he hadn't heard of the case. But what's particularly interesting, and with Fox reproduced part of my statement and ignored the main part, which is nobody in my district had communicated to me about it, and I get thousands of emails.
Yeah, I love...
There was one email that showed up the day before the town hall. What?
Right. No, I love this. Your statement says, a review of major sources of information, which I rely upon, shows the following mentions of this issue. 0, postal mail to my office. 0, faxes. Los Angeles Times News. 0. I mean, it's because there is no story. It's part of this, you know, Fox News noise machine, isn't it? While the rest of us are trying to figure out how to get jobs and the economy going, this is what they're doing.
Well, what Fox doesn't report are 6 of the cases that I'm going to bring to the attention of Attorney General Holder, where the Bush administration closed voter intimidation cases there, where they're real victims, real threats, situations with guns being pointed at Latino voters, et cetera. Right. And those 6 cases, and perhaps a few others, ought to be reopened. And if they want to take another, you know, I think they ought to take another case, the Philadelphia case as well. But,
right.
But only after they look at these 6, because The Bush administration politicized the Civil Rights Division and destroyed enforcement of voter rights.
Yep. No, I mean, I think what's hilarious, what's lost in this whole Fox News hysteria is not one voter complained of voter intimidation. That's why the Bush administration didn't think the facts or the substance supported there being any charges in this particular case. I mean, it's hilarious.
No, and at the same time, these new Black Panthers, and I'm told there are all of six of them nationwide, they're bad people. Or at least the one guy that you see is racist and
right.
You know, wants to kill, quote, cracker babies. I mean, this is not a good person, not somebody I would defend or say that we should go light on. But you compare that to the Minutemen with guns that have shown up in Arizona and elsewhere. Clearly, Fox News is kind of selective.
Right. Right, and I think the difference is, quite honestly, in my opinion, it's like a jerk that was just acting for the camera. This was a district that voted overwhelmingly for Obama. It was a Black district, so he wasn't really intimidating anybody. He was just being a jerk, I think. You know, and
well,
I agree that one of
the
things...
Is, if this was part of a voter suppression effort, you've got to ask... Who wants in November of 2008 to reduce voter participation in that particular precinct of a swing state?
Right.
It sure as hell wasn't Obama.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So speaking of the economy, the president spoke this morning from the Rose Garden. And, I mean, it really is incredible that we have, once again, these sort of twin issues going on that Republicans do not even want to expend unemployment benefits, which is a tiny amount, compared to that they want the Bush tax cuts to continue, which are going to cost us $600-something billion to extend tax cuts for the rich.
Well, the Republicans are against increasing the deficit, except when it benefits those who make more than $250,000 a year.
Right.
They're consistent, they're principled, and they're a little obscure about stating the principle as clearly as I just did, but that is their principle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if ever there is a time when people are hurting and need help, as the president was pointing out this morning, you know, this has been a bipartisan thing, is extending unemployment in times of need like this in previous administrations. It's just, I think it further points out how obstructionist this Republican Party is. They are just against it, aren't they, if the president is for it?
Well, there are Republican consultants who say the worse you can make the country, the better it is for the Republican Party. And I think I've got hopefully just a very few colleagues who are putting party above country.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, you know, there's been a lot of talk, obviously, about the election cycles. We had, you know, Robert Gibbs saying Democrats could lose, and clearly Nancy Pelosi and others didn't like that. What is your take on the fall thus far?
Well, traditionally, in the first midterm, when a new president's elected, you lose 26 seats, and that's as good a predictor as any. It's consistent with what's happening. It is mathematically possible for us to actually gain seats, and Mr. Gibbs made a comment about what is mathematically possible, but as to what's likely, the average is 26, so then you look at the individual races we face this year, it's probably around 26.
Joe Biden this weekend, or yesterday, said, I don't think the losses are going to be bad at all. I think we're going to shock the heck out of everybody. Do you agree with the vice president?
Well, it will shock the hell out of those people who who have a different image. As I say, I think 26, certainly could be wrong about that.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a lot of people surprised. I just don't know whether it will be the people who think we're going to lose 50 or the people who think we're going to, you know, break even who will be surprised.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, basically at this point, I think we have, you know, there's a bunch of Republicans and Democrats quoted from the Sunday shows yesterday. And it's basically, you know, Republicans predicting Republicans are going to win, Democrats predicting Democrats are going to do better than expected. So who knows?
Never seen the football coach before the big game say we're going to lose.
Right.
The fact is a lot depends on fundraising, and this is an area where Obama could be very helpful to us. If he does the work, stands there and takes takes the pictures with the donors, does the things that presidents do not like to do, will have robust campaigns and will do much better. If he's not willing to do that, he did it for himself in 2008, but if he's not willing to do it for the DCCC, the Democratic House committee in 2010, then we'll probably lose more than 26.
Congressman Sherman, you know, we've often said this is like the party of do nothing, but now it seems even worse than that. They're the party of undo everything that you've already done, particularly financial reform. We have not just John Boehner, we have John Thune, Saxby Chambliss, Richard Shelby, all Republicans saying they want to repeal financial reform. I mean, I don't know how you run on that, do you?
They're running on it. Look, the country's in bad shape. You could run on any platform and just say, if you're hurting, vote against the guys who are in Washington. And you're going to do okay just with that. I would hope that the people of the country would ask the question many vaudeville comedians asked, compared to what?
Yeah, right.
You know, people are angry at folks who are in Washington, but compared to what? What are the policies that? And the policies are simple. I think Menendez said it well on Sunday. We're not just giving the keys to the car of the people who ran into the ditch. We're giving the keys to the guys who ran it off the cliff, plunging into the Grand Canyon.
Yep.
And.
Yep.
The fact is, we've stabilized the economy, which is no reason to pop champagne corks, but is no small thing when you look at the precipitous decline that we were in that kind of leveled off a couple months after the stimulus bill.
Yep, absolutely. Well, you keep on keeping on.
Stephanie,
one more
thing.
Yes,
August
sir.
29th, Reseda High School, 3 p.m. If you're anywhere, be there. Hopefully we'll have a better town hall with turnout of some people who listen to something other than Fox News.
Well, don't forget to beef up your coverage of the Black Panther incident. All right. So Representative Brad Sherman of the great state of California, thank you, sir. A pleasure as always.
Thank you.
All right. There he goes. Tim in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning, baby.
You know, I'm watching the news coverage this weekend, especially with Sean Hannity on Thursday, and then just the coverage continued all weekend long regarding how there's no racism in the Tea Party movement or anything. I'm just kind of dazed and confused by that, because if anyone, and I do mean anyone, has ever been to a Tea Party rally, and I've gone just to kind of stoke it out and see what the hell is all about, you see rampant racism in there. Yes, not all the Tea Parties and the Republican Party are racism, not even in some of the Democratic Party there is some racism, but you can't paint all the parties as one stroke. But you look at the Tea Party, I want to say at least 40%, if not a larger number, of them are racism. Are
yep.
racist, and you can't sit there and deny, like, you see Sean Hayes saying, oh, I see no video evidence of this. Are you blind, deaf, and dumb?
Yeah.
Well, because it's
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
You're collecting everything. I think this shows how manipulative Fox News is.
Yeah, no, it's hilarious. It's, you know, it's like there's a sign right behind him with the president with a bone through his nose. What? I don't see it. Where?
I don't get it. That's not racism. That's just American talk.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. exactly. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Oh, you know what? Fox News has moved on
what?
To another huge story.
What?
After the Black Panther.
What?
It's called a tease.
Thank you, Jim.
Damn it.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Have no fear. Steffi's here. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Barely. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, grimacing in pain once more.
Are you really going to survive this?
Don't know. Back to the chiropractor after the show. It's my little route, and then back home.
Maybe that little injecty thing that they do on you
activator
isn't working.
Oh, no, it works fabulously. It's the radio show that's screwing up my back. If we get this sex sling installed, I think I should be fine tomorrow, and Jim will be much happier, too. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the
I just want to watch the DVD. So, oh, that's how you... Okay.
Oh, okay. Right. They, you know what? That looks like angry sex in that... I'm not sure why you need restraints in the bathtub. But anyway, all right. Corey in Birmingham, Alabama. Hello, Corey.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I was wanting to make a point about this guy, the leader of the Tea Party that was kicked out of it. Everyone's saying it's racism.
Yes.
I read his blog. It was... To me, it was kind of sarcastic and, I guess, slightly insensitive. But, I've heard worse on, say, Saturday Night Live, you know. But the thing I always want to make, if it's not, even if it's not racism, the thing about the Tea Party is they stand for freedom and they want to reduce government. Well, the thing is, it's kind of contradicting themselves. They kick out the leader after he made a statement, which could have been just freedom of speech. So
Yeah, first of all, I don't think I've ever seen anything racist like that on Saturday Night Live. What are you referring to?
You read the letter, I'm sure. But
yes.
I read it. And
you read it on the air.
No, I read it on...
I read it on the air. Sir, I have a radio show.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I didn't really see... I thought it was just sarcastic, the whole letter. I didn't take any of it.
Okay.
That's because you're white.
All right.
Then again, I'm not a minority, so.
Yes, exactly. So that's, you may have been lost on you. Why, that might not be funny, a wacky letter to, President Lincoln about what us colors want. Using jokes like, we don't cotton to this whole emancipation thing. Slavery's funny.
I don't think I've ever seen anything like that on Saturday Night Live.
No, I'm not sure what he was referring to.
He's thinking the half-hour news hour, probably.
Oh, yeah, that... Yes. That piece of crap that Fox News ran for 6 weeks.
By the way, here's what the shadow RNC is up to because Michael Steele is such an incompetent boob.
Mm-hmm.
The group run by anti-stimulus crusaders Rove and Gillespie airs ad attacking Harry Reid, for lack of stimulus money in Nevada.
No!
They just ran an ad saying the recent data shows Nevada ranks 50th in money received from Harry's stimulus bill. So... they're attacking Harry Reid for not getting enough stimulus funds for Nevada, even though, first of all, they were wrong on the facts. The reinvestment awarded 13 states less money than Nevada, if you were, in fact. And the other fun fact, Nevada, one of the smallest states, of course, in the U.S., stimulus money went disproportionately to states with larger public sectors and higher Medicaid bills. But kind of rich that they're criticizing him for not getting enough stimulus, and they claim it hasn't worked anyway. All right. Also, he's fighting to get, unemployment benefits. And
whatever.
People in the bathroom. Okay.
Never mind. That.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how's about this in this economy, in this housing market? Can I have my, rich people music, please? For sale, Jim, a house so big you need segues to get around it. Jacqueline and... I meant...
Speaking of segues, not that kind of segue.
No. Yeah. Jacqueline and Dave Siegel embarked on their $100 million Orlando mansion named Versailles before the credit crisis hit. Now they're trying to sell it. Anybody? Anybody? Bueller? No? At 90,000 square feet? It is the largest privately owned home in America. It's the size of two White Houses. Let's see. Mrs. Siegel said, we had planned maybe a 12,000 square foot house, something very modest. But our family grew. We have 8 kids. So, of course, right away you need 90,000 square feet.
Sure.
And during the design process, the house just kind of took on a life of its own. I wanted a bowling alley for the kids. Who doesn't? I wanted an indoor roller and ice skating rink. And my husband wanted a 10,000 square foot health spa with an indoor relaxation pool. And the house just kept growing. And we had to keep buying more lots. They had to. They were forced to.
Of course. Then there's the Zeppelin hangar. You got to have that.
Yes. Yes. To get around the ginormous manor, they purchased 10 Segways. There, by the way, it's on sale for a bargain basement, $75 million, Jim, which you normally have on you, don't you?
Yeah, sure.
Wow. Boy, do I feel bad. Oh, here's the latest. What the Fox, now that maybe the Black Panther story might not be so much of a story or...
Whatever.
Okay, this is a... could I have my deliverance music, please? Right-wing... apoplectic that a Montana school is teaching tolerance.
Yeah. This is making the rounds on the Fox News channel.
Safe sex and anti-bullying. You know what they're trying to do again? They're trying to, humanize the homosexuals.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. In Montana, residents...
humanizes homosexuals.
They gathered at a school district school board meeting to weigh in on a new K-12 health education plan. The proposal developed by community members and health officials over 2 years promotes a broad health and nutrition education program for each grade. So far, so good. However, there's a small section dealing with sex education that ignited a firestorm of backlash. Meaning on Fox News.
Right.
The curriculum would teach first graders that human beings can love people of the same gender. Second graders not to make fun of people by calling them gay or queer. And fifth and sixth graders that there are several types of intercourse.
Oh, my God.
Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, Laura Ingraham have gone into a tailspin on their shows over the homosexual agenda. Yeah. O'Reilly said they want to indoctrinate children. The reason is they don't want bullying. They want tolerance across the board. So you take a five-year-old who just wants to play, and all of a sudden Heather has two mommies or Gary has 18 daddies.
18 daddies?
Mm-hmm. Because you humanize.
Humanizes homosexuals.
Laura Ingraham said, children will learn that sexual relationships could happen between two men or two women. Why stop there? I mean, that's very exclusionary, don't you think? No plant life invoked.
Oh, well, leave that up to O'Reilly with his loofahs and,
Yeah, okay.
One of the other things.
Oh, you might as well keep that music up. Speaking of Republican candidates being pushed to the right, there's, what's her name in Georgia? She's running against a Nathan Deal, someone who's probably pushing Karen Handel.
Mm.
She, in the past, supported taxpayer-funded domestic partner benefits and gay adoption. And she was a member of the Log Cabin Report.
Oh, my God. Is she a homosexual?
No. She showed some degree of tolerance, and now she can't have that because she's in a primary.
But she is a karma comedian.
She has been denying and backtracking on those positions. She uncomfortably tried to define her new opposition to gay rights and became exasperated when pushed to explain herself. Question, do you know of any gay couples with children? Answer, not that I'm aware of.
Huh.
I guess I want to know why you think gay parents aren't as legitimate as homosexual parents. Answer, because I don't.
Oh, well, because
right
I said
then.
So.
Oh, well, right then.
That's the classic mom answer.
Okay, well then.
Because I said so.
Can you go back on a position in the sex sling?
Check this. All right. Check this out. Well, why do you view committed gay relationships as being less legitimate than committed heterosexual relationships? Answer, as a Christian, I view relationships and marriage as being between a man and a woman. Oh, now you can't even have a relationship.
No.
So just forget about it if you're anything other than
That's a bit of a flip-flop, isn't it?
She believes in a man and a woman in a sex sling, period. That's it. That's
well,
it.
So does the cover of that box, too.
Mm. We gotta get that up on the Facebook. All right, that's it for us. Tomorrow, Charlie Pierce of the Boston Globe. Along with Chicago Danny, who shit my carrier.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The guy with the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, the car got back unscathed.
All right. All of that tomorrow on The Big Show. We'll see you then on The Stephanie Miller Show.